not-so-distant future from that time. We in the sanctuary this morning are a part of that other sheep pen. And that is why Jesus is our great shepherd, along with the great shepherd of all believing Jews. And he makes us law. Similar to what Abraham experienced by stepping out in faith and going to a new land, a new culture, and a new people, we too, once we truly hear the Lord's voice through the gospel and respond in faith and obedience, we also enter a different culture, the culture of the church. Let's face it. The church has a very different culture than that of the world surrounding us. Can I hear an amen on that? For many of us who had not been raised in a Christian home, the culture of church life was at first very foreign to us. I remember my wife and I being invited to attend a Bible study on a Thursday night in someone's home shortly after becoming Christians ourselves. We were at first out of our element. But over time, we embraced this new culture of being followers of Jesus Christ. We were hearing the Lord's voice regularly now in the hearing of his word being spoken and taught on Thursday evening. We were being prayed for, and we, in turn, were praying for our new brothers and sisters, a totally different culture. And we, like Abraham, and so are many of you that are sitting in this sanctuary this morning, looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And that city is none other than the eternal city, which will come out of heaven as shown in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. This is a description of that city that Abraham was looking forward to, and that other Old Testament saints were looking forward to, and that the church, the Bible-believing church, the Christ-believing church, should also be looking forward to. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Let me tell you something. I am looking forward to that new city, to that immensely beautiful and sin-free city known as the New Jerusalem. But in the meantime, we need to watch now, like Abraham, wait patiently. Now, I know Rita, my sister, would love nothing better for the Lord to come right now. She keeps telling me that every time I see her. But in the meantime, he hasn't come. Here's the deal, though. He will come. Why? Because he promised. And God keeps his promise. So hang in there, sister. Your day is coming. Like Abraham, we too can anticipate the fulfillment of God's promise. The promise of a new home. An eternal home. But in the meantime, we can be assured that like Abraham, our faith will be tested. Watch now. It will be tested from time to time. The writer was encouraging his readers to pass the testing of their faith. And that testing of their faith would come in the form of the fear of persecution. And he did so by showing once again how the faith of Abraham was tested. Hebrews 11, verses 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Let me kind of fill in the blanks here for those of you who are not that familiar, okay? He promised an heir. He promised Abraham when he was 75 years old, past the age of siring anyone, and his wife was barren, he promised him an heir. 25 years later, at the age of 100, whereby Sarah was 90, she gave birth to his one first son, in whom would be raised up all the nations as an inheritance for Abraham. And then God tells him, kill them. He didn't have another son to replace him. That was the testing of his faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure wouldn't want my faith tested in that way, would you? Abraham was promised a son, an heir, one whom would be the start of many descendants. And the promise was fulfilled in that Abraham sired a son at the age of 100. Abraham held on to that promise, watch now, for 25 years, never wavering. Listening to his wife once, which was a mistake, not to say that all wives make mistakes, but do not misrepresent what I just said. I'll hear about it from Annette later. But in that case, it was a mistake. It was a mistake because Sarah said, "Why don't you lay with the concubine so we can get some children?" And Abraham did. So there was a slight falling there, just like there was a slight falling on the part of Adam when Eve said, "Here, eat." But nonetheless, in his heart, he stood firm. Ever since he left his home in Ur at the age of 75, he held on to the promise. So fast forward now to Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1, up on the screen. Some time later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." God was testing Abraham's faith and his obedience. A faith that shows itself through obedience. But honestly, have you ever wondered why God would do something that appears so cruel? I mean, you may not say it out loud, and that's fine. But you ever wonder? Lord, I mean, kill the kid? I know we like to kill our kids once in a while, but that's just a saying in our minds. We don't really want to do that. But man, oh man, oh man. But Abraham never wavered. But he reasoned. He reasoned. If God could give life, he could take life, but he could also give that life back again. For he is the Creator. Abraham didn't just have any old kind of faith. Watch now. He had resurrection. We need to have resurrection. Abraham reasoned. The word translated reason is logizomai. We get the word logistics from this. It's a mathematical term that means to calculate. Abraham calculated that God can raise Isaac from the dead after he sacrificed his one and only son. It was like having a God key on his calculator. Tests will come. It came to Father Abraham, a testing of his faith and obedience. And tests will come to us, individual tests. But why a test? Does not our Heavenly Father not know in advance how we would respond to the test? He knows already. So why the test? A 19th century Scottish pastor named, of all things, John Brown. Yes, there was a John Brown. He gave a perspective on God's testing up on the screen. When we speak of God's testing men and women, we are not to suppose that he needs to discover by experiment what their real character is. He knows what is in them before the trial. He knows beforehand what will be the effect of that trial. But he makes their character known to themselves and to their fellow men for ends worthy of his own infinite wisdom, righteousness, and kindness. It also deserves to be noticed that the means which God employs to prove his people are fitted to improve them. The means he employs to discover the good that is in them are calculated to increase and perfect it. The means he employs to discover the evil that is in them are calculated to lessen and destroy it. You see, the test is not for God. The test is for us. He already knows how you're going to respond. So we learn about ourselves and our fellow brothers and sisters through now, our response of faith to any test is to cast our hope and prayers upon the Lord. Believe in God's word. Watch now. Go in order here. Believe in God's word. Rejoice in God's power. Trust in God's provision, just like Abraham did. Stand in God's triumph and live your walk of faith in God's assurance. Our faith is not to be a warm feeling or wishful thinking, but a heart obediently fixed upon the God who is and who rewards those who diligently seek. For without faith, biblical faith, it is impossible to please God. We had the gift of faith given to us for all those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a gift from God, the faith that we received in order to respond affirmatively to the fact that he is who he said he is, the Son of God. He did what he said he did. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And then he was raised from the dead 3 days later. By the way, there is more proof of the fact that he rose from the dead than the fact that Julius Caesar ever lived. Now, Julius Caesar did live. no doubt about that. But there are more facts related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there are facts in the historical record that shows the life of Julius. Now, like Abraham, we can reason. Jesus. We're going to. God's going to raise us. The multitude of us, having been raised from the dead, will go with him to be with him forever in the New Jerusalem. There are others who get raised from the dead, but they won't be joining us. They will go in an opposite direction. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is crucial to go in the right direction. A rejection of Jesus Christ guarantee that when one dies, you will go in the opposite direction. Church isn't saying that. I'm not saying that. God says in his word. God is true. His word. At this time, it gives me great pleasure to ask a man to come forward to be with me up front. I'm going to ask James Lyons to stand and start making your way forward, because if I got a word for you, buddy, maybe two. I have a kindred spirit with my brother James. The reason I say that is because both of us have been raised in the same denomination, the same kind of church. Not the same church, the same kind of church. And we have been taught in this same kind of church through our formative years that we had to believe in Jesus and then also do a bunch of other things that the church commanded us to do in order to be saved. And we held on to that for many, many years, James and I. And there's no doubt that we did sometimes put forth our best effort to do those things. So that maybe, somehow, some way, we do enough good things that would outweigh our bad things. So we can get to heaven, maybe. But then, there came a time when James, in a different place, and I, somewhere else, heard very different. What we heard was, put your faith in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for forgiveness of your sins and his resurrection from the dead, and you're guaranteed. Well, what about all the works? That comes after. Well, why would it come after? Because you'll want to serve. So the good things that the church wanted us to do in those days that James and I were growing up in the church were not those things that could ever save us. But instead, the Lord Jesus Christ did all the work for us. And all we needed to do was. And we did. So I brought James into the library more than once and talked with him more than once. And I'm convinced that James has indeed put his faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And so James would like to, with your permission, by way of a show of hands, become a member of First Baptist Church. And like we do in a civilized church, we take a vote. So I would ask all the members, members only, who are in favor of James Lyons becoming a member of First Baptist Church of Bonnie Green Lakes, could I see your affirmative by way of a showing of your hand? All those not in favor? And it's the one who might raise their hand that I would have a talk to, not the man that they're raising their hand. So congratulations, James. Do you have any words you want to say? Or? By the grace of Jesus Christ, we're here today. We as church might think that, you know, just the basic thing that we learned today is so basic. We already know that. The problem with those things, we always need to be over. That's why God decided to put it. This book has before been attempted to be destroyed. Those who attempted to do that have failed time and time again. And guess what? It will never be destroyed. It is indestructible because it is God and it is true. Every jot, every tittle, every word, every comma, every period, every quote. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for today. We are so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for our patriarch, Abraham, and the kind of faith that he had. Because he believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. And therefore, because we in this church who believe, it is also credited to us as righteousness. The same righteousness that was credited to Abraham is the righteousness that is credited to all who believe. And all who believe have exercised the gift of faith that God had given them to put it solely and purposefully on the Lord Jesus Christ, not only our Savior, but our great High Priest and all God's people. Amen. Have a great day, folks.